It's episode 74 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm Chris Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we welcome back special guest Matt King to discuss Avengers, Age of Ultron, and the comedy Daredevil.
Literally a king among men.
You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or check us out on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe. And as we promised last episode, which I just posted today, today is our discussion of Avengers, Age of Ultron, and we're also going to discuss Daredevil, that laugh fest, and we have brought back our friend to the show, Matt King. Welcome back, Matt.
Hola.
As I mentioned last time, friend is strong. Draw a hard line at acquaintance.
All right.
I grow on you eventually.
Like a fungus.
Like a fungus.
Like a fly?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
But only on the North Face.
So, before we get into Marvel goodness or badness, however you want to look at it, Vanity Fair.
Because it's May 4th as we record this.
Yes, it is May 4th. Fake Star Wars Day, as Dirty A and I like to say. Real Star Wars Day is May 25th.
May 25th is Star Wars.
But anyway, it's May 4th, and Vanity Fair has released their cover, and as they did with the prequel movies.
Was it Demi Moore?
No.
Naked, but pregnant?
No, it wasn't. Yes. It was Chewbacca. Chewbacca was pregnant on the cover. And as Vanity Fair did with the prequel movies, they have a Star Wars cover, and it's got... it brings all geeks to tears. It's got John Boyega and Daisy Ridley on it with Chewbacca and, of course, the man himself, Harrison Ford, sitting in the pilot seat of the Millennium Falcon. And
who did he play in the original
Greedo?
Greedo.
Yeah. Greedo. Because he shot first.
He shot first.
And the spread, I mean, the magazine comes out, what, the 12th, I think they said? And on
I'll
newsstands.
Have to check my subscriptions, you know.
I didn't look either.
Well, I'm buying it, so no it came idea. Out then.
Yeah.
But they cover, they've got a bunch of other photos in there. They have Lupita Nyong'o, but we don't know what she looks like because she's going to be.
She's just got, it shows her prepping, I guess, for her.
Motion
what
capture.
What will be a CGI role.
Yeah, yeah. And but she's some kind of pirate, some kind of space pirate or something like that, which is cool. It was confirmed that the Chrome Trooper is Gwendolyn Christie from Game of Thrones. They show Adam Driver. He is indeed Kylo Ren, and he they show him without his helmet. So
yeah. So in the trailer, if you saw it, he's the one with the black face helmet on
With the Daft Punk mask.
Yes, the Daft Punk mask that kind of forces his.
But the lightsaber, the new lightsaber with the
he'll have the tri-saber
or whatever that is the thing.
Yep.
And they show a bunch of other monsters and stuff like that, and they show they got a picture of J.J. Abrams, Kathleen Kennedy, Lawrence Kasdan, and John Williams.
Yeah,
and that's
the real stars of the movie.
Seriously,
yeah. So,
seriously.
So basically,
as long as the script's any good, yeah.
Basically,
seriously.
they gave us some more characters, tied them with the faces.
Yeah, there's a shot of Oscar Isaac in there with the X-wing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Still no Luke, but then again, when the magazine comes out, maybe there'll be another picture. I don't know, but
maybe I think they're really going to hold that back though.
I hope so.
That'd be cool. I do too. I think they're really going to hold that back.
But still no Luke, still no Leia, and we still don't know who Domhnall Gleeson's going to be playing.
Nope.
And he was at the read through, so you know it's got to be a pretty meaty
pivotal,
part
for sure.
It's got to be a meaty part.
Who?
Domhnall Gleeson.
No,
he was in. You didn't see Ex Machina.
Did you listen to our last review? Nope.
Twice.
Well, he's the guy in Ex Machina.
I knew that. Huh? I was just seeing.
He's also in About Time, and he's been in some other stuff. He's one of our favorites.
Okay. He's a redhead.
He's Brendan Gleeson's son.
Yeah. All right.
He's like, he's Brendan Gleeson. Can we? Anyway,
Matt's just like, is he one of Odin's court members, perhaps?
He's amazing.
Oh, he's Asgardian number 7 in
oh,
the
P.S.
Dark World.
Entertainment Weekly did their, now that Avengers Age of Ultron's coming out, they did their rundown of the best, from worst to best, and guess what was the worst? Thor 2, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
shocking.
And that is like, set in stone.
No,
it's really, really bad.
No.
Iron Man 2 was number
As long as Iron Man 2 exists.
Iron Man 2 was the next one. It was
the last.
It was
the very last one.
That's not true.
They said pretty, in their little caption, they said pretty much everything you and I said in the review. It's a mess.
Yeah, and you know,
at this point, I'll point out that you and the author of that article have never been in the same room at the same time. So
I wish I worked for Entertainment Weekly. Yeah. God, I wouldn't have to work on my shitty job that I got now.
Then we could all
we could talk
about how off your reviews were. I gotta know what he's talking about. Dumbass.
I have to get out of this.
I kind of say that anyway. Yeah, to be
that's
honest.
True. That's true. We don't need that.
Yeah, we don't need to wait for him to be an Entertainment Weekly writer.
But they also released like the movies in terms of like the franchises in terms of profit, like most profitable, which was shockingly Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, wait a second. The MCU is now the most profitable. Like,
well, no. That is its own franchise, of course. Okay. But I'm talking about
just, a single character.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was Spider-Man, and then the fifth is Avengers. Batman was number two.
What do they count as Avengers? Just the first two movies.
Just two movies. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, that's kind of premature. I mean,
that's why
it's just today. It's today.
That's why for that trivia, I left Avengers out of that.
Right. Yeah, of course. It's just to date.
Because you could technically say like Iron Man and Captain America are all part of that, but whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's Star Wars Vanity Fair. Go check it out. Comes out May 12th or something like that. So,
yeah, it's pretty cool information.
Check it out. It's a little early. And then I heard the toys are coming out in September.
Yeah. We're speaking of too early.
Yeah. And
weren't they going to reveal them today, though? Or,
I don't know.
Nah. Well,
I hope not.
There may be something about it in the magazine, but I didn't see any actual.
The only thing I hope they don't do is online. Spoil the freaking ending of the movies like they did in the prequels. Like they spoiled
Natalie
Portman and then Christopher Lee in the second movie.
Yeah.
The toy comes out, it's Darth Tyrannus.
Darth Tyrannus.
Hey, thanks for ruining the end of the movie, asshole.
Thank you.
So did Darth Maul come and like you could break him in half?
No, that came later. That came later.
Well, you could break him in half. I've got one right over there if you want to try breaking him in half.
And then of course the soundtrack has that great track at the end, Death of Qui-Gon Jinn. Well, thank you very much, Lucas. Thank you. You son of a bitch.
Or John Williams, probably named that.
Yeah, well, that's his fault. He needs to get Hans Zimmer to name his tracks because Hans Zimmer's are nice and vague. Actually, or they're lines from the movie.
I actually watched that today. The Phantom Man-Ass? No. It's the Whitest Kids You Know, that sketch comedy group.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They did a segment and Trevor Moore was
he was
John Williams his coming son. Up with music and he's just in the shower going bum 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 bum. And it shows him like mowing the lawn doing the same thing. It's just how he comes up with his music is great. Anyway.
So let's get into the whole reason why we're here. Avengers 2. Let's talk about this turd. No, I'm kidding. Avengers 2 was released this weekend and it only made $184 million.
Not $191.
Yeah, it was $188.
Only $191 million.
Still fell short of the record.
Fell short of the record.
Which was Avengers. Made
the one day record. Like opening day record, it hit thanks to the Thursday numbers.
Yes.
Do
they even still count those?
They count those. Yeah.
That's silly. But they, because it's like it starts course, at 7 o'clock.
Of course, but it's still okay because they did the same thing with Avengers. So
no, they didn't. Because with Avengers, it was a midnight show.
Oh, it was a midnight show.
It was only midnight showing.
So, but yes, they do count those numbers. Mm-hmm. They do count those numbers, and based on that, it did beat the quote unquote one day numbers, opening day,
the
numbers.
Day and a half numbers.
But yes, still fell short of Avengers. The first Avengers.
Yeah. They're blaming it on that. But there was a big boxing match this weekend, right?
Yeah. Mayweather.
Something like that.
And,
did you?
Pacquiao.
Pacquiao. Yeah. Did you see that thing, Floyd Mayweather's punch out? Have you seen that meme?
I didn't watch it. God, I didn't watch so, it. So I saw that it existed, but I didn't so watch funny. It. Yeah. I saw.
Do you have to chase him around the ring?
No, he hugs him.
I saw just two random people.
Uh-huh.
Something on the internet where they recreated it, and it just showed the Latino guy chasing him around a bush. they stand off, and then Mayweather just runs around the bush, and he's just chasing him around, and then he comes around the bush and goes, "Yeah, I win."
I think it's, from what I hear, it's pretty much.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
I was watching the basketball game. Anyway, so Avengers yes. 2, and it's finally here, and it's pretty good. I didn't personally. I think I liked the original one better, because I mean slightly better. I mean, I gave like the original like a B+. I give this one a B. The original one, with this one, you lose that giddy excitement of like, Avengers! now you're like into it, which is cool. I like how they built, like, it's like a team and they're already working together, and I like that a lot. But to me, there was a lot of stuff in this movie that was like, it wasn't bad, but it was like, why'd they do that? It's like, why'd they do that? Why'd they do that? Oh, and by the way, before we get any deeper into it, spoilers. Spoilers up the ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We're dissecting the hell.
If you're not one of the billion people who have seen it already,
sorry for you.
Sorry. Yeah. Don't you come back and listen to this later.
I was really hoping that I'd get to rewatch Avengers, the first one, again before this, but I didn't have a chance. I'm really borderline as to which one I like better. I actually think I might like this one a little better, but I don't know. I really need to rewatch that first one again. But there are a lot of elements about this that I really, really like, but then there are some glaring troubled parts.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, you're wrong.
No, we're right.
I'm just kidding. There are clear problems, I think, in the second one. But I will say that the first one, I think, maybe is slightly ahead of this one, partially because there is that wow factor of, like, this has never been done before. This has had a 5-movie lead.
Right.
So it's this big crescendo of a movie. Right. And so there is that sort of novelty to it.
The other thing,
the second one doesn't.
You know what? You're right, because there's less Thor in the first one. So yeah, I gotta probably.
I think there's more Thor in that one. The first one too is that, you know, like you said, like you have that excitement and everything. But the only really problem I had with the first one was that the plot was just kind of thin. It was just a thin plot. But that the whole point was getting the team together. So, but this one, there's a lot more plot. This movie is 141 minutes, and I still was like, that's it? And they rushed out a lot, because, I mean, really, they don't really develop much of anything. Ultron kind of gets glossed over, honestly.
Which is
a shame.
Too bad, because he's awesome.
Yeah,
I would love to have seen more of him.
The twins, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, they're in this. They get glossed over real quick. And what Joss Whedon really did with this, and he's the writer-director on this, and, you know, what he did is he mainly focused on the Avengers that don't have solo movies. Hulk, Black Widow, Hawkeye. My God, Hawkeye.
Yeah.
You know,
even he references...
No. But see, I'm gonna tell you why what they did with Hawkeye was fine, I guess, but it's actually bad in the long run, I think, personally. But basically, what you find out, we'll start with Hawkeye. Joss Whedon has always said that he felt bad that he just relegated Hawkeye to basically being a zombie in the first movie.
He should, because that was
so. Although that leads to one of the best moments in this film.
Yes.
So he really wanted to focus on Hawkeye a lot, and what you basically find out, spoiler, is that Hawkeye has a wife and kids that nobody knows about, living in some farm somewhere. Now, that's all well and good, and the whole reason why Joss Whedon did it is because, like you thought, Dirty A, that he wanted you to think that he was going to kill him off.
Yeah.
The problem with Hawkeye doing this, and Matt knows this because he's read this as well, this ruins all possibility of doing Matt Fraction's awesome Hawkeye series, where he's like this single guy, and then you know, he's not rich like Tony Stark, so he's like, you know, a normal dude, but then he gets caught up in all this crazy shit, and it's really great, great comic. They can never do that now, because now he's married to Linda Cardellini from ER.
And he has kids.
Yeah. Unless his daughter becomes...
Unless
his daughter becomes the other Hawkeye.
Yeah. That would be a little weird.
It would be weird. Because they get it on the comic. Yeah. So, it's Game of Thrones!
Weird, but not unheard of, apparently.
So, what did you think of that plot? Like that subplot?
The whole Hawkeye thing?
Yeah.
He was clearly making up for the first movie.
Yeah.
And it seemed like he felt bad, you know, that he was that zombie character in the first movie. I don't give a shit about Hawkeye, to be honest. I mean, I just don't, as a character. Yeah. In this universe, I don't give a shit about him. And it's because he doesn't have a story. I mean,
he's like a backstory.
Yeah,
like,
there's no backstory.
Well, they tried to make it, basically.
Well, like, sort of. I mean, basically, they gave him the family as just to give him some extra personality.
Yeah, he's trying to roundabout, but it's just boring. I mean, it's like, you know, there's this whole mystery behind Black Widow's formation, you know, like she's, you know, you get the hint that she's brainwashed.
Well, they also kind of revealed that in Agent Carter, too.
They did.
Actually, they more reveal it in Agent Carter than they ever did in Avengers. And yeah, Avengers is just kind of
like...
It's like a one sentence.
They gloss it over.
So you don't really get... Unless you know the comics the way you do, you don't really get the sense of what her backstory is.
Right, but they hint towards the backstory.
P.S. Parents, enjoy explaining what sterile means to your kids after seeing this.
So
we'll talk about the female roles later.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
So everybody else in Avengers has a backstory.
Right.
There's something going on with him. Right. But Hawkeye is just this superficial, shallow... I mean, there's nothing to him. So there's no reason for the audience to care about him. He could have gotten killed off and nobody would have cared.
That's very true.
Yeah, nobody would
have cared. Yeah, I mean...
So to focus on him...
Going into the movie, I thought they were going to have to kill someone big off.
Yeah, and I think everybody thought it was going to be Hawkeye.
Yeah.
See, I didn't. But I read something. I didn't read the exact spoiler, but I read something that kind of hinted at it.
That doesn't count at all.
No. Well, it could end up not being true. There was a lot of stuff.
I didn't believe that for one second because I read that it exactly wasn't going to happen.
Well, no, but I also knew they were going to kill Hawkeye because they've already said he's going to be in Captain America 3.
Yeah.
Which is another problem with the Marvel movies in general.
You can't really escape that problem.
Well, no. you can and you can't. They could keep the casting announcements like a little bit under wraps. I mean, you can say, yeah, Black Panther's going to show up. That's cool.
Right.
You know, because we don't... Spider-Man's going to show up. That's cool.
Okay.
But don't ruin the end of Avengers.
You can try to keep it under wraps, but this day and age, it's fucking virtually impossible.
Well, they're... In their defense, they're not the ones who leaked it the first time.
Right.
It was fucking Jeremy Renner.
Oh, really?
In an interview, somebody was like, somebody asked him a question. They were like, "So are you going to be in Civil War?" And he's like winking, like literally winking at the camera, going, "I can't say, wink, wink, wink." And I was like, "You fucking idiot! I mean, you just ruined the end of Avengers."
well, yeah, but again, that's what I'm saying. Like with the media and everyone's individual. Interviews, you're always going to happen because they have individual agendas to kind of let people know that they're still going to be in the spotlight coming up.
No, that's true.
Because it makes
their
profit margin, it makes their value go up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But for us it sucks because it kind of telegraphs a little bit of what's going to happen.
It does. And
P.S. Thanos is going to be in the next one.
Right.
So anyway, Hawkeye. I could have done without a lot of his stuff. He could have been absent from this movie, to be honest.
Honestly, I would have preferred more of a focus on Ultron and Vision instead of that.
Oh, yeah. They should have just left Hawkeye as like the mysterious badass. Yeah,
why not?
You know?
Why not?
And if you're going to do a Hawkeye, then what they should have done, well, I was going to say if you're going to do a Black Widow movie, you could put Hawkeye in that later. And like, but anyway.
Because they at least have some sort of
history together.
But.
Yeah. So now, because Hawkeye is married, this leads to the inexplicable romance of Belle and the Beast. I mean, Black Widow and the Hulk.
Right.
Which was
really the opening scene. I mean,
yeah,
from the beginning, they set up, this has happened somewhere between Avengers and Avengers
2. But see, did it really? It didn't really, didn't, though. See?
Yeah, it did.
No,
because... I didn't say this. When I say they set it up, I mean they let the audience know at the beginning of Avengers 2 that these two were an item. I didn't mean that they like,
but that's that's what I'm saying. I mean, they kind of were and they kind of weren't. It was like this weird dynamic.
Yeah,
and like she was like basically begging him to fuck her, and again, I'm just like, and that's what a lot of people have a problem with on the internet. They're like, Black Widow doesn't beg for shit.
Right. No, see, I don't have a problem.
Plus, love is for children. Right.
I don't have a problem with the way that they introduced it.
Well, that's what she said in the first movie.
That's right.
Yeah. She said love is for children.
You're absolutely right.
Well, that's my problem is that I don't have a problem with the way that they introduced that, like that it had happened. That's fine. I mean, you can't give a backstory to everything after years of this team being together, right? Some things you just have to jump into.
Right.
My problem was just, in general, the relationship.
Yeah.
Okay? I know that they work together, but let's face it. Banner is like a scientist egghead guy.
Yeah.
And she is a trained assassin who has been brainwashed to basically hate people. Right? I mean, they're never going to get together.
Right.
Like that, it's just, it doesn't make sense.
It totally killed everything that they
have established for
Black Widow.
Even in the Captain America movie.
Well, that's what I'm
where
saying.
She was great in that
the
movie.
The first female superhero they give us in this thing, and they turned her into the the quintessential woman, right?
And that, well, no, that's, you know, that's the biggest problem of all, because is that they're kind of trying to, and I'd like to find out the behind the scenes stuff to see if Whedon really wanted to do this, because this is his MO. This is his MO. But I have to wonder if maybe Disney stepped in a little bit and said, can we put in a little thing here?
A little bit.
They're trying to turn her into Princess Leia, and she's not Princess Leia.
No, because they've had their fingers in with Marvel for a while now. And so after, like, there was no seed to this relationship planted in Avengers, which Joss Whedon had.
Oh, no, there was. Because she's the one who recruited him.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
No, and then she says at the end of the movie.
I know.
Did you know?
At the end of the second one, you're right.
But then you look at her in Winter Soldier.
No.
So, in Avengers, she, love is for children.
Right, exactly.
She gives that whole speech. And then in Winter Soldier, you know, Cap is pressing her on it, like, you know, you're lying. You keep, all you do is lie. You know, how can anybody ever trust you? And she talks about how it's a great way to survive. And you know, what do you want me to be? Kind of thing.
Now she's like, do me with your big green penis.
Now she's like,
Well, the whole you know,
she's like
the
passing
whole,
a note across the table. Will you date me? Yes or no?
The whole Coke coaxing him down thing.
Yeah,
like that was kind of laughable to me because it honestly, in my head, I just jumped to like the A team. B.A. Baracus.
Yes.
And like,
who's playing my milk?
Yeah.
But see, that also, to be honest,
like, what is going on here?
That also destroys what they did in Avengers, because the whole point of Avengers was, he can do it whatever he wants.
Yeah. He said, I've learned to control it.
Right. And that destroyed that. So it's like, I hate to say this because Joss Whedon did a great job with the first Avengers, and he did a decent job with this one, but I'm like, I'm kind of happy the Russo brothers have taken over.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, and if you didn't know, this was Whedon's last ride with the
And to be honest, after watching it, I'm like, no wonder this guy's walking away because he must be freaking exhausted. He's probably like, I don't want to see the Avengers ever again.
As we mentioned in previous podcasts,
now he's going to go direct Justice League.
The Russo brothers are taking over for the Infinity War.
And but not just that. They're doing Captain America 3.
Civil War,
They're doing the Infinity War. Right. And then I think somebody posted on Collider in a response to one of my comments, are the writers of Captain America 3 and Infinity War, are they doing Thor too, aren't they? I think they're writing Thor too.
Oh, Thor 3.
Yeah.
Nothing can fix that piece of shit.
No, well, that's the thing, because in this movie really sets up Ragnarok.
It's
ham-fisted how they did it, but it really sets it up.
I heard that like they've really given Idris Elba a much bigger role.
Should be the star of the third one. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, I love.
Yeah, he's always great. Right, yeah, which he has a little.
If you ask Hemsworth, somebody did ask him. He said that, you know, he's talked to Marvel about the Ragnarok movie, and that, according to him, Feige wants Ragnarok to be the Winter Soldier of Phase 3.
Right.
Where Winter Soldier, you know, it was this phenomenal movie that changed everything about. You know,
right. And it's going to set up the Avengers 3, basically.
Yeah, and Ragnarok is, I think, it is set up. It's probably going to be the primary setup to Infinity Wars, but
a lot of people think Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be. But I don't know, James.
They were talking like some articles came out today that said that Civil War was going to be the one that set up Infinity War.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't know.
We'll get to Civil War in a minute. Let me write that down to make sure we don't forget to get to Civil War. But anyway,
As far as planting seeds go, we were talking about, you know, the reason Banner and Widow doesn't work is because it wasn't set up ahead of time.
It's really shoehorned in there.
It is shoehorned.
And to be honest, the thing, that, not to step on your line, but what's really pathetic about it is that they really like pushed it. And I saw it a second time, and it was even more glaring the second time I saw it. And it's the thing that sucks about it even more is that there's two or three scenes with Vision and Scarlet Witch. Mm-hmm. And it gels perfectly.
No, that's what I was going to say.
They give it way too much screen. They give this whole that whole little subplot line way too much screen time in this movie.
But see, he totally botched it with Widow and Hulk, but he did it perfectly with Vision and Scarlet Witch.
Oh yeah, it was great.
Oh, that was so great. And you could just see like those
the
two,
connection between them. Yeah,
the connection between those two is going to happen down the line, and you're looking forward to it now.
Yeah,
as opposed to here you're going to like you know
what it smacks of is giving her quote something to do. They had to give Black Widow something to do, and this is what they
did. Kick ass?
I know that's what they should have done.
Let her be the double agent that she's
right.
To be.
Let her be.
So that's
Black Widow.
That's why I think it might have been a mistake for them.
Speaking of seeds, she has none.
And I love. Yes, she reveals that she's sterile. That's why I said parents.
Parents, you can use that line, by the way.
Like, because I mean, literally, like I turned to Mike in the when that line happened. And I said, I just leaned in. I said, bring the kids. Yeah. I mean, I was like, Jesus. So the So the whole thing with Black Widow, I like ScarJo. I like her as Black Widow. Yes. She plays it a little unevenly. Like, especially...
That ass done.
She was great. She was fantastic in Captain America 2. Like, she played it perfectly in Captain America 2. In the Avengers movies, sometimes she's Scarlett Johansson, sometimes she's Black Widow. It depends on the line readings.
But in Avengers, there was a reason for that, right? Because Whedon said that role was originally written for Wasp.
And that's what I was getting at. Yes. That's what I was going to say. Okay, is that I don't think Black Widow should have been
the first female Avenger.
It should have been Wasp. Because then you could have done something like that with Wasp, and it would have made more sense with the character.
Yeah.
That she might have been like, ooh, it's a big green Goliath. Oh, I'm dating this guy. Maybe I'll date the Hulk. You know, it would have made more sense. And plus, the Wasp is not an assassin.
Right.
And little girls can actually like look up to her and be like, oh, well, she's a hero and stuff like that. Black Widow's a hero, but it doesn't change the fact that she killed people for money.
Well, she's kind of like the anti-hero, right? Because she's got that...
And that's fine. And she's in Captain America 2, she was a great foil for him. It would be great to see a Black Widow movie where it's like a spy movie and all this. That'd be great. But the problem is they're trying to turn, like I said, they're trying to turn her into like Princess Leia, like the strong woman.
It's like turning Wolverine and making Wolverine into this... Wolverine is supposed to be an anti-hero.
Right.
But Fox has turned him into...
They try to make him completely good.
He's completely good.
Wonderful. Yeah, it doesn't work.
No,
yeah,
and the same with Widow. Widow can't be...
You lose the edge. You lose that edge. When you lose that edge, you lose the character.
Well, Wolverine still killed people. I mean, he still killed people in the movies got later.
Children. You know, it's like he doesn't kill people because, you know...
Because he's Wolverine.
He's Wolverine. He's, you know, he's feral. You know, he can't help... You know, his instincts.
But they did that in the comic books, too. They did that. I mean, he became like more like samurai noble and stuff like that in the comics.
But the Winter Soldier Widow is more in line with what Widow should be.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know if you can trust her.
Right.
Cap is questioning her.
Yeah,
you know, right. It's only through...
And in this one, they just throw that completely like on Stark's shoulders.
Mm.
The whole trust thing, right? That's what they've done here. Is they've taken in the matter of, can you trust him? And they've given it all. They've given all that guesswork and throwing it on Tony Stark instead of any other Avenger.
Yeah, that's another thing that didn't thrill me about this movie was that, you know, he makes Ultron. That's fine. That's totally cool.
Yeah, completely.
But then
he would do.
But then, because they're like, oh, we're running out of time. We got to get the Vision into this. He goes and does the same exact fucking thing, and he's like, it'll work out better this time. I hope.
Yeah.
And Bruce Banner's just like, I guess.
When
it's like, where's Reed Richards to say this is a terrible idea?
Once again, the only scene that came to me in that particular instance when he's doing it again, y'all won't really get this reference, but is the end of Pet Sematary. When he's carrying his dead wife going, it'll work this time. It'll be better because she just died. It'll work. It's different. It's different.
Dead is better. Sometimes dead is better.
But, you know, it... What are they going to do? I mean, he had to make Vision. So.
No, I know that.
Ultron could have made Vision.
That's true.
Like, without Stark's help, I think Ultron...
That's true. But the way they set Ultron up... Well, Ultron was going to make Vision, right?
Yeah, he was in the process, and then Stark finished it.
Well, he was going to be Vision, basically. Yeah. He was making himself, his new body.
And Vision. That, you know, seeing Vision go from on the side of Ultron to... You know, ultimately deciding that the Avengers are the ones who were right is one of the best parts of Vision's character.
It's exactly
what they did with Ultron. And Ultron gains consciousness, and then he breaks bad right away.
Yeah. Well, but he does. You're right. However, even at least with Ultron, they at least gave him some dialogue of thinking it out, like explaining it to the audience when he's up there, and he at least explains his thought process. I get the sense of that he's a super AI, right? So his thought process is going to be real quick when he's in there figuring everything out. It's going to take him 2 seconds to figure
this
out.
We're not Ultron. We need to see Ultron's we need to see that
as a story,
that change
as a narrative
story.
Initially
he's like, wait, who? Tony Stark? Who? What? Avengers? Oh, I hate them. You know, just sort of how the story goes.
But I'm just saying, at least with him, they did give him a little bit of dialogue to help explain that.
The
Vision, nothing. Vision was just, here I am to save the day. Mm-hmm.
The problem that Marvel might start running into, and I think it's a problem that DC is already running into, is that they've already done, like, obviously they're culling from the comics and stuff like that. DC has their animated universe, which they have Batman animated series, Superman, Justice League. They're going to have the Star Trek Next Generation problem, where it's like, where do we go where they haven't gone already? Mm-hmm. Marvel is kind of running into that problem a little bit, because they had the Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which was a fantastic cartoon.
Yes.
And all these like third-tier characters like Black Panther, Captain Marvel, because she's third-tier. I mean, she's gaining prominence now. I don't want to step on your girl.
Yeah, but, I was about to hit you, but don't.
You know, cool. You know, and these storylines, like Ultron, like in the cartoon, Ultron's story was like, what, like five episodes or something like that?
Well, they actually
showed him go from drone to this, to sentience, to hating the Avengers.
It showed the progression,
well, which is much more satisfying.
That's always going to be troublesome for the medium of film with comic books.
That's true. But what I'm saying is,
you can have multiple storylines running at the same time.
No.
They just can scrap an idea and forget about it. You can't do that with film.
That's true. But then what you do is you don't have to cram everything into this one
movie. Agreed.
Lose Hawkeye story. Lose the Hulk and Black Widow shit. And concentrate on Ultron developing, and then he goes, now I'm going to build a vision. Maybe even cut Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver out of it. And,
you know, I agree. This could have been a much tighter, better movie had they just focused on Ultron and Vision, that whole thing. They could have still put Scarlet Witch in there. It was a lot of this side shit that didn't need to be there.
It's a bad sign when the studio says, the week before the movie comes out, there's going to be an extended edition of the DVD.
Wait for the Blu-ray.
They're not doing that.
By the way, I guess you could argue, going back on my last point, that the final confrontation, it was way too short for me between Ultron and Vision. Vision kind of explains a little bit his thought process there. The people are unique, and
Paul Bettany, he fucking killed it.
He's awesome.
He fucking killed it.
Well, that's why
he's my favorite character in the movie.
Between Paul Bettany and James Spader.
James Spader was great too.
They were awesome.
I felt
like they were hardly ever on screen. Vision for sure was.
But. And it was great to see that he was actually there. Yeah. Like, he wasn't just some CGI thing. He was there.
Oh, right.
You know, you could tell that was his face, and he was in makeup. And that was cool. It was great.
It was awesome.
It was great practical makeup. And I love that last scene between Vision and Ultron.
I wish it had been more of it, though.
Yeah. It would have been great. It would have been better if it had been a situation where Vision had been on Ultron's side.
Right.
Because that's what happens, right? He's on his side for a
Having to explain to him why he's... chosen sides.
He was like, this is the flaw in your thinking that, you know, you don't need to exterminate mankind. They're not, you know.
Right.
And the whole thing about how things aren't beautiful because they last forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's some great dialogue in that last
scene. It's like I said, I mean...
It's almost sad watching
him
kill Ultron there.
Yeah. Whoa! Way to spoil the
end. Did I say kill? Like, Quicksilver died.
It was quick.
Yeah, they basically just said, you know what, X-Men, you can have him.
Right. I mean, essentially, they didn't even.
But to be honest,
I like that scene too. Just keep on going with
it. To be honest, the two of them though, it actually works out better that way, because Scarlet Witch has always been Avengers, and Quicksilver has always been in the X-Men world.
That's true.
Because they have the Inhumans coming up that they were going to stick.
Aren't
they always kind of pitted against each other, though? Because he's like the baddie and she's good. So aren't they kind of pitted against each other? That's kind of a cool...
No. The reason why he had to die is because in the comic book, she's very unstable.
Right.
She's very unstable, and this goes miles to making that happen.
Sure.
So that's why he basically had to die.
Well, they kind of showed her go unstable.
Yeah.
Right.
And so that's important, because that'll be important down the line. But
that's not why she's unstable Quicksilver, in the comics, because he's around.
No. Yeah, he's still around. But Quicksilver, he always, like, yeah, that's true. The Inhumans, he does marry what's-her-face, Crystal. Hmm. But I remember him just from X-Men being like involved with X-Factor, and he was closer to Magneto and all this stuff. Of course, they reveal now, quotes here, that Magneto's not their father. Fuck you, Marvel.
But she didn't start out as their father. She was clearly the better character to keep.
Elizabeth Olsen was great. She was really good.
She was fantastic.
He was good too, but I mean,
he was fine.
I liked him. He was fine.
He was fine, but if you have to choose someone who could run really fast versus... Cool powers.
And let's say they gave her a hodgepodge of powers that I'm just because her powers are really hard to describe.
Our friend Jen.
Yeah.
She made a real good point with me. She said they basically turned her into Jean Grey Jr.
They did.
Yeah.
They kind of did.
With Hexbolt.
Yeah, because the Hex powers are kind. They're kind of like
she's got a really weird power set. Anyway.
It's hard to describe it. So they
the way that they sort of distill that down in this movie. It's like she can move shit around. She can throw the red shit out of her hands. And she can get in people's heads.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, it's...
Yeah, I liked her a lot. She was good. I wish more of her.
And I want... I need to see a still of that last scene when she comes down with her new costume for New Avengers.
She looked different. She looked weird. Like her eyes were, like, blue now. I was like, what's going on here?
I think this is why. Because that spot was originally meant for Captain Marvel. In the storyboards or the CGI plates or whatever they call it, like that was Captain Marvel coming down to be part of this new Avengers, and then they decided to switch that up, but Scarlet Witch in there
at the end, as Matt mentioned, there is a new Avengers team. People have gone their separate ways. The Hulk runs away. Hawkeye goes back to his house.
We don't know where Hulk goes.
Yeah, Hulk is lost somewhere.
Hulk is just flying around in the...
Yeah. They said he crashed in the sea, though, so he...
Well, they think he did.
And
on purpose, by the way. He left because he was getting too dangerous.
I'm too dangerous to put my green
penis
in you.
Basically, he's literally doing the same thing where he started in Avengers 1.
Right.
And what, they found him then. I don't know where he thinks he's going.
But. Yeah, I don't know. So, if he's on Earth, they're going to find him.
Yeah. So the new team... is now War Machine, Falcon. Scarlet Witch, Vision, Black Widow, and Cap.
Yeah.
And Tony Stark goes off to retire, quote-unquote.
Yeah, you said he was tapping out.
Yes.
And by the way, that was another problem I had. This smaller problem I had is that there was no reason, like in the kind of penultimate battle of all the... To not have Falcon in there, just flying around. Don't show him at the end, because everyone else, War Machine's fight, everyone else is fighting, and then Falcon just shows up at the end, ta-da, for no reason. Like, why didn't you have him out there fighting, helping? You could have just shown him flying around. It's not like you had to give him anything to do. I just felt like, it just felt real tacked on in the end.
They did have that line, though, in the beginning, when at the party.
They mentioned him,
where he's talking to Cap, and he's like, Cap was like, I'm sorry I didn't call you. He's like,
right.
He's like, don't worry about it. That kind of stuff that y'all are doing is really weird anyway. I'm busy working on our, chasing ghosts.
I'm missing person case, so he's looking for the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
So now let's lay down the 57 plots that are going to have to take place in Captain America Civil War. You got Black Panther's going to show up.
Yes, he is.
Spider-Man is supposedly going to show up.
Yep. Civil War. Well, we don't really know that, actually, do we?
Yeah, he's in it.
Oh, he's in it. They've already said he starts shooting in June.
That is when they announced it. Yeah,
At some point, Tony and Cap have to hate each other.
Right.
Which, there's hints of it in this movie, but they're friends by the end again.
Which was another problem of mine. Why didn't they just carry that animosity through the end?
Exactly.
Like, why at the end did they have them be like, go team, all right.
Yeah.
Why didn't they have them go their separate ways, being pissed at each other?
Yeah.
It made more sense.
Then you have to do Winter Soldier, because he's still out there doing, and you can't. And Baron Zemo's in it. Don't know how he's going to figure into all this.
Maybe
they'll treat him just like they treated Baron Von Strucker.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Sorry, we're wrapping that up.
I mean, shit.
Yeah, he got like 5 seconds of screen
time. He's like a major Captain America villain, and they're just like, he's dead.
Yeah, but like Baron Strucker, I don't give a shit. But Zemo. Zemo needs to be given some screen time.
He's the main villain of Civil War, I guess. I thought Tony Stark was going to be the main villain of Civil War.
Well, they said that he'll be the main bad.
And Crossbones is it?
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Rumlow. Yeah. I mean,
Black Widow and Hawkeye are awesome.
Hawkeye. I mean, Jesus. I don't know what. This movie's gonna be like 4 hours long.
Well, this goes back to what I was saying earlier. The problem with trying to translate from a comic book story that can run for months or years and translate it into one story.
I don't think they're going to attempt the Civil War story.
They're not. They can't. They can't.
They don't have the people, first of all.
Yeah.
It's going to be an 8-hour long movie.
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
I would too, I'm saying. But they're going to have to distill it down. It's going to, it's probably, instead of the Thunderbolts from the Civil War line comics, I think it's probably going to be Stark teaming up with Zemo, possibly. I'm just trying to think through, because with all these different players, in the Civil War storyline, Stark turns to the Thunderbolts. Like, he's got this team of villains that he uses to help hunt down Cap and all this resistance, because he needs help, you know.
Right.
And that's part of what sets Tony up as a villain in the Civil War storyline, is that he starts resorting to these measures. And there's also rumor that what's his face? Ross. General Ross is
going to back. Oh, I saw that. The guy William Hurt come back as Thunderbolt Ross.
Yeah, which is like...
Which lends
Nick Nolte.
Or Nick, right.
No.
So Thunderbolt's going to... You know, Thunderbolt Ross is going to be in it. Which kind of points towards that story too. Like, he's getting together this group of people that... to help fight these heroes.
Jesus Christ.
There's a lot going on.
There's
going
to be a lot of speed on the screen, for sure.
But they don't have to do it. They already said they're not doing origin for Spider-Man, so there's nothing in there about, like...
There's no way they could. No. I mean, you can't tack that into a movie that's already chock full of a storyline that's going to be so big and have so grandiose of everything.
I mean, it's essentially Avengers 2.5. It is essentially what it is.
I don't know why they don't just call it Avengers. I don't know why it's called Captain America, to be honest with you. Well, it's not. No.
Feige said that, as far as Spider-Man goes, there's already a kid swinging around New York with these powers. They just haven't talked about
him. Right.
So he'll probably just show up as, you know...
as your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yep. When they're... when they're gathering people on their sides, it's probably when he's going to be thrown front and center. Yeah, I don't know. I have faith in the Russos, man. I didn't prior to this. Prior to Winter Soldier, I don't think anybody.
Captain America 2 was fantastic.
Let's talk about some more things we'd like about Avengers. So.
I know it makes it sound like we're shitting all over the bad parts,
but it's a really good movie.
I did enjoy it.
I was thinking about my rankings this morning, and I ranked them. I have Avengers, Winter Soldier, and Age of Ultron. It's my third favorite.
Okay,
I'll
put it up there for me. I don't know that I could rank it now. I'd have to think about that. But you made a good point after we saw it. Like, everyone forgets about the original Iron Man.
Yeah,
that's fucking good. It's a fucking good movie. And everyone, it's so long ago, people forget about it now. But
for me, it would be Cap 2. Probably original Avengers, Iron Man, and then Guardians of the Galaxy.
I love some Guardians. Yeah. I love Guardians. It just takes you somewhere.
Guardians is just a happy movie.
Yeah,
a happy movie.
And I was actually watching.
It's a different kind of movie altogether.
It was like on FX some last night when I was flipping over to Mad Men, and Thor was on. It was the scene when Thor was going to leave and like he was saying goodbye to Natalie Portman. I was like, you know what? I like Thor, the first Thor. I liked that moment a lot. I liked it.
I liked Thor. Had his problems, but
it definitely had its problems.
As much as I like Natalie Portman,
I don't like her character.
Even worse is in 2, the other girl,
Darcy.
That whole thing.
I don't like Natalie Portman's character, but the two of them did have chemistry in that movie. It's like, it's just that they're making her character a little bit too important, you know. I mean, Jane Foster was supposed to be a paramedic.
Paramedic, astrophysicist.
Yeah.
So like in this one, in the Avengers, I like Ultron as a villain much better than I do Loki.
Oh, yeah.
So much better.
Yeah, he's much more threatening.
He's more, let's say, relatable. To the audience, if you will. Just a much better villain, but got so much less screen time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
There was a serious lack of Ultron in the Age of Ultron.
So I'll tell you what, though. The kind of the penultimate fight scene where they all gathered around the core that they were trying to protect the key. Like, for me, that was just the most amazing thing. That was the closest for me that I've ever seen... Mm. I've ever seen any of these movies get to an image that looks like something just stripped right out of the comic book.
Yeah.
Like when they're all in there fighting and everything's coming out. It was amazing.
Yeah.
That was such a cool scene.
It was really well done.
And for me, that really kind of made the movie.
Yeah, it was a little bit of I would be kind and say callback to the first movie. It was a copy of the exact same thing.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Where they're all huddled around and the Chitauri surrounding them.
Yeah, but this was done a lot better.
It was done better.
And there was more going on as far as shit just coming at him. Like, you just, it just felt just like a comic book page to me.
Yeah. No, they, once the fight began, the fight was incredible.
When they did that slow-mo sequence and, like, Cap's, like, spinning in the air.
Awesome.
And then the Hulk's doing this. Yeah.
Vision's flying around.
Flying. Yeah,
Quicksilver, cool. You can see him really fighting. Good. And, oh, God, I love that fight scene. Just Vision in general just ruled this movie.
And again, just
for the 5 minutes he's in it.
Just like the first one, this has got plenty of humor.
Yes.
I mean, I almost feel like, and that's another reason why I'm kind of happy that Joss Whedon's moving on.
A little bit much.
It's a little much.
For an action movie.
When I watched the first Avengers again, because I watched that and Cap 2 before I watched Age of Ultron, but, you know, it's like, he puts in 3 jokes when 2 would do. Sure. You know, and it's like, it just goes a little bit too far.
It's kind of a little overdone, but then again, this is a comic book.
I mean,
I didn't really notice it from anybody except for Stark. I think Iron Man had one or two too many jokes in each of his scenes.
Well, he kind of always does.
That's the thing. It's like,
in the MCU, that's kind of his thing.
It is now.
That's what I mean.
In Iron Man, he had a perfect balance. And this is kind of, I liken it to, like, you know, you get an author who is immediately successful, or, you know, he or she has a good string of books, and then editors can no longer touch them.
Right, exactly.
You know, and suddenly their books start going into the sprawling, you know, it's like, what the fuck is going on?
He can do whatever he wants.
He's
now taking control of the character.
Yeah.
Nobody
tells him no.
Right.
I think that's where we are with the Iron Man character, with Robert Downey Jr. in the MCU. I don't think anybody is there to say, that joke's not really funny.
Or they don't want to touch it because it's cash cow, right?
Everybody loves Iron Man.
It's kind of true. But I mean, to be fair, the jokes do work. Like, they're funny.
He does have funny jokes, but there's also a lot from him where you can tell he's ad-libbing.
It's a little much.
It's too much. But
Ultron does great. Ultron was
Vader
fucking awesome.
Was fucking awesome.
He was the joke. What would he say?
Oh my God!
You found the most indestructible. You found the most indestructible element in the universe, in the world, and you've created a frisbee.
They create a frisbee. He had some great lines. Upon this rock, I will build my church. I mean, he's just such a good character. I wanted to see more of him. You know what I will say is that, out of all the movies that Thor has been in, like Black Widow was done the best in Winter Soldier. Like, that was the Black Widow character. I think Whedon gets Thor way more than anybody else has gotten him so far. He gets Thor right. I love the Thor character in this movie. He's extremely powerful.
Yeah. Because I wrote that in my review that I was like, you know, the reason why I think he had to shunt Thor off to the side is because Thor could probably pretty much handle this all by himself.
Yes.
He has comparable strength to the Hulk, but he has a mind to use it.
Right. Yeah.
So it's
he's got Mjolnir.
He's got.
But I love that.
Which was really the best joke in the whole movie. The end when Vision hands. and then they talk about it at the end. Oh, it's a machine. It's like if you put it in an elevator, it rises. It's not actually lifting it up.
No, that was by far my favorite moment in the movie.
Vision
hands Mjolnir
amazing.
Thor.
That was awesome.
Because, you know, whenever they show the previews, one of the 100,000 previews for this movie that they put online, one of them was the party scene.
It was the first, the first leak thing, or it wasn't leak, but the first thing they showed.
One of the first things that they let out.
Yeah.
And it just kind of came across as a funny scene, you know, and it felt like it was there to foreshadow Cap eventually picking up Mjolnir.
Yeah.
But in no way did I see this coming with Vision. And it was such a fantastic moment in the movie when he hands Thor Mjolnir after this speech about, you know, what side he's on and, you know, what his mindset is going into this. After he's been questioning everybody, he's like, are you on Ultron's side? Are you on Earth? And he's given this whole speech about, you know, he doesn't hate Ultron, but he, you know, Ultron wants to kill everybody and he can't have that. And then he just hands
him Mjolnir. And given that they did have that scene, not, you know, granted the other movies too, but granted that they did have that scene, the party scene.
Yes.
You know, that sets up that so that they basically know, well, this guy's on our side now.
Like, yeah.
We do not have to worry right now.
It was such a great
That was great. It was great when Cap,
and Thor's like, and he goes, he's like,
that's fine. But that's just such a perfect way to set up the Vision character in a quick amount of time.
Yeah.
That they had. But
yeah. I look forward to more Vision.
But I just love in the final fight where it was a testament to Thor's abilities, where Ultron sought him out.
Yes.
To take him out of the action.
It's right.
Like, I'll let my minions deal with the rest of these cats. I'm taking on like Thor myself.
But yeah. You know, the what y'all just said about Thor, I kind of feel like that going into the next one with Vision, because he's basically got Vision, all the power in the world. Like, yeah. Like he could talk about doing anything yourself. He could do it all himself. Because yeah. You know,
yeah. I saw somebody was complaining about Scarlet Witch's powers, where they were like she could be Thanos by himself or by herself. And I'm like, no, she couldn't. Ooh, she would not last against Thanos. No. But Vision, on the other hand, yeah. I mean, you look at all of his powers. I mean, the phasing ability alone makes him.
Yeah, they showed that once. They showed that once because when he was ripping out the robots, I did second time I saw it. I did see his fist actually go through. Yes. I was like, awesome.
Yeah, he did a few phasing things in there.
Did you notice when Tony, after Jarvis is now in Vision now, how Tony was going through his cards of people. You saw Jocasta.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, when he pulled out Friday.
Friday.
But one of the discs on the table was Jocasta.
Jocasta. It's a character.
It's the bride of Ultron, basically.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Eventually.
And Friday, I read some Irish actress did her voice, but I'm just like, I think I said to you, I was like, is her accent changing like every 5 minutes?
I noticed
minutes?
That the second or third time I saw it, she does.
But
that
you see
three.
That's like me in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, nothing wrong with it.
I saw it three times.
Don't judge. But
I'm not judging. I saw it twice.
But the accent is like every once in a while to pop up. And I'm like, what? Wait, what is she? But I liked Friday. I thought Friday was great.
Yeah.
I don't know why she's called Friday.
Yeah, it's an acronym for something.
It's an acronym for something, yeah. So I'm sure we'll find out in Iron Man Jarvis, but 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're not aware, that's what the deal is, that at the beginning of this, Ultron, as Ultron is coming to its being, it basically destroys Jarvis. And
Supposedly.
Well,
yeah.
To some degree, he is destroying. He just puts, he's put back together.
Right.
And then Jarvis essentially becomes the interface for Vision. I don't know how you'd say that.
They meld them.
Vision and Jarvis kind of become
to one. The point where he looks like Paul Bettany.
Yeah. Right. and then Tony Stark has to have a new interface.
This is what they did. This is how they came up with that whole plot. We have to explain why he has Jarvis's voice.
Well, here's another thing. He said
he's known about this for like 6 years or something like that this was going to happen. Right. That they're going to turn him into
Paul Bettany. I guess so. Like, Paul Bettany. Is Iron Man's suit... Because Jarvis was the interface for the suit, but is it standalone? Because if it's connected to the internet, Ultron could have just fucked with it all he wanted to.
Well, it's one of the things I think they missed in this movie is him taking over Iron Man's suits.
Oh, did he do that in the comics?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's what I assumed would happen, because I'm like, if the Iron Man suit is connected up to an interface like Jarvis was, it's in the internet somewhere, in a network, secure as it may be. Yeah. Ultron would jump right in there, and that's what I expected to happen in this movie.
Yeah, they did that in the cartoon, Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Okay.
They, that's the first thing Ultron did, was take over.
That's
Tony's
what I
suit
would happen.
Again.
Right.
But
that's probably why they can't do it. That's probably why they didn't do it.
It was kind of good. Well, I mean, they've taken other stuff from there. But it's, you know, he had to get in the Mark I suit because there was no interface in that to fight, help fight the other.
I remember that. Yeah, that was good. But see, that's the other problem with that, though, is because I mean, like, I'm sure Chadwick Boseman's going to do a great job as Black Panther, but I'm just like, I don't know how you're going to do him any more perfect than he is on that cartoon.
He is
Black Panther's fantastic.
Yeah,
he's like an Avenger from the get-go in that thing, almost.
And I like how they introduced him on that show, and maybe they'll do it the same way in the movies. I don't know, but he was like investigating the Avengers, and he broke into the mansion and was kind of like checking out Jarvis and doing all the stuff.
Kind of sounds a little bit like what they might do with Dawn of Justice.
Yeah,
with Batman and
But then like he starts testing the Avengers. Like he gets in a fight with them, and he's just sort of testing their abilities. And then he sort of comes out and is like, "Hey, I'm just kidding. I'm actually the King of Wakanda. I'm gonna be your friend."
Waka waka. Waka.
So I do wonder how they're going to introduce him in Civil War. I have a feeling he's probably going to be on Cap's side.
I would think so.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, Wakanda's this...
Well, isn't the theory sort of that he might be the Spider-Man role? That maybe he starts out with Tony and then he goes to Cap?
Well, yeah. But, I mean, everybody's got that. There's Spider-Man. in that role now. There was talk about Winter Soldier being possibly in that position to start on one side and end on the other. Like, he could be part of the Thunderbolts.
He's split in half, though. Like, some of them stay with Stark's side, right?
Yeah. The Spider-Man was really the biggest character to flip sides. I can't actually remember anybody else.
Do we know for sure that Winter Soldier's even in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's definitely in it. So,
because I don't know if they're going to tell him.
How could they not, though? If it's called Captain America and the way they said it at last
time. But that's what I'm saying, is I don't know how long that they planned to make this Civil War. But, you know, I thought for sure Captain America 3 was going to go down the Winter Soldier rabbit hole and, like, follow that, and more Captain America villains come into it more than... But then as soon as they said Robert Downey Jr.'s in, you're just like, well, fuck that. This is Avengers 2.5 now.
Yeah, it really is. And I don't care. I cannot wait for this movie.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be great. It's just that I have no idea how they're going to do it. How they're going to...
Well, this will be a good test run for Infinity War, because that's going to have...
Well, at least they got two movies for that, though.
They do have two movies, but you still got twice the amount of characters.
They can just dick around. They can put tiddlywinks in the first one.
Maybe they will. Speaking of which, though, the end scene... to Ultron.
Oh yeah. I mean it was
again, if you're not there's not a end credit scene, but there's a cut scene about 30 seconds into the credits.
It's a mid-credit scene.
I
loved it.
I thought it was fine, but it
pumped me up.
I'm ready.
I guess I'll have to do it myself. And
he's already got
the gauntlet already. Well,
Feige says there's two.
Yeah, there is.
He says one is it. But see, what's in that thing? Those aren't the same gems.
No, they're not the gems.
They're not the Infinity Stones.
No, they're not.
It's just glass.
Yeah, it's just glass. Christmas lights that he put in it. Just to, did look like a plain old glove.
Yeah.
Odin likes his decorations. Leave him alone.
So, don't go see Avengers. It's a piece of shit.
we're nitpicking it because that's what we kind of like to do, with especially with things we like.
Right.
But it's very solid movie.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. It is darker, and I don't know if you want to take your kids to see it, because there is some stuff in there you're going to be, I don't know.
Or speaking for someone who's watched horror movies since he's six, take your kids.
Just don't take your two-year-olds, we're behind me in the semi-second viewing.
God. Yeah.
But no, you're very lucky, solid. You're lucky, they were lucky, and a good addition to the family here.
It's exciting. It's funny. It fits right in with the rest of the MCU.
And Vision.
Go see Vision and Scarlet Witch. That's fine.
Now maybe down the road, Black Widow may find herself a nice blind lawyer that she can date.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there.
Okay.
Because. We're already an hour into this, so it's going to be a supersized episode. Yes, but Daredevil, Matt finally finished Daredevil.
Shut up.
Finally.
Oh, I'm sorry I didn't mainline
it. It only took Doug and I a day.
So we're going to talk a little bit about Daredevil, what we thought about it.
Have you forgotten about it since it's been so
long? Yeah, I have.
Sort of. Actually,
his costume's blue, right?
I read a fun little article today that broke down Easter eggs per episode.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
So Daredevil stars Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock.
It premiered last year on Netflix.
Shut up. April 10th, motherfuckers.
Last month.
Oh, was it just a month?
Yeah.
It hasn't even been a fucking month. Okay? It's been maybe 3 weeks.
They've already greenlit season two because it was a big hit. Charlie Cox plays Matt Murdock, who is he's a lawyer in Hell's Kitchen, New York, and he was blinded as a little boy because he saved an old man from a runaway truck, and the truck carried toxic waste that blinded him, but it also gave him extrasensory perception, and so now he all his other senses are super enhanced, so he can basically see.
Yeah,
anyway.
He can see, just not the way we see. Right?
The world on fire.
Right.
That's right.
And so he has his own law practice with his partner, Foggy Nelson, and they come into contact with Karen Page, who is framed. Sorry to spoil the first episode.
Yeah,
framed for murder.
Yeah, that from the beginning.
And then she ends up working for them because she can't afford to pay them. And she's got some issues.
Some issues.
I wonder if they're going to go into her porno past that was in the... in the.
I don't know if they'll go there, but they're clearly. They kind of mentioned it. I mean
well, that show, I don't know.
I mean,
it's on Netflix. I mean,
she's the crux of a lot of things that go down. Not in this season per se, but in general.
So what happens is that you find out that her. What happened to her is involved with all this stuff with a guy named Wilson Fisk, who is united front with these other mob families. And basically the whole first season of Daredevil is basically Daredevil coming into his own and Wilson Fisk kind of consolidating his
power. It's the Wilson Fisk show. And I love every minute of it.
It's the origin story for both.
Yeah. For both of them.
But for me, the villain in this way trumped.
Kingpin was great.
He's the best villain in the Marvel Universe right now.
He's fucking amazing.
I mean, he really is. Awesome. I mean,
he's so dynamic. He has so many different sides to him. He's not just one dimensional.
Right.
You don't think Malekith?
No, I don't. No. So, nice. Nice. God. Now it's like, who?
I don't know. I gotta speak up because I don't know who the fuck.
The Dark Elf from the Dark World movie.
The guy from The Legend of Zelda who's in Thor.
You fucking talking about Thor again.
Yes.
Stop talking about Thor.
So,
Goldilocks.
Vincent D'Onofrio plays the Kingpin, Wilson Fisk. He's great in this. Charlie Cox is really good. I like him as Daredevil.
He's great.
The action
his mouth
is...
annoyed the shit out of me, I'm not gonna lie.
His mouth?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with
him? I don't know what to tell you.
I really love Daredevil, but I can't watch his mouth.
Just the movement, I did not.
The action is spectacular in this show. The fight scenes are amazing.
Yes.
The problem
first
is,
one,
though...
No. The dot...
No.
No, there's no problem.
No, there is a problem.
No, there isn't.
Because the problem is, when you binge watch it...
All right, that is a problem.
By the time you get to the end, you're like... Dude, you're doing that move again?
He's right. Well, actually, not only that, not only is it repetitive, but it actually you when you binge watch the thing in its entirety, it feels there's a lot less action than you might think.
Yeah.
Than if you were to wait a week and watch it.
Right.
But
it's still
not a problem because this is as much a drama as anything else.
Right.
But,
so that's why, if you watch it slowly, like I did, don't have these problems where you're like, he used that move 5 minutes.
You know what you have a problem with? Getting up with your friends and talking about what the fuck's happening. That's what you have a problem with. What episode are you on? Let me see what we can talk about.
So
we're here now. Let's just enjoy it.
So Daredevil, I liked it a lot. I thought it was really, really well done.
Yeah.
I read Daredevil in the 90s in the early 90s when I got into comic books. And, so I was familiar with his story and stuff like that. I'm looking forward to seeing if they bring Typhoid Mary into it, which would be fantastic. There is an Easter egg in this. That's at one point, Electro probably will be in the next season.
Right, they reference her in a flashback.
In a flashback, and it's
what?
You didn't remember that?
I thought you were talking about like the Red Ninja, the hand.
No, they're the hand, right.
Remember the flashback episode?
When they were in college
and he says,
what
the girl
happened to that Greek girl you used to see?
The Greek girl you used to sit beside in class.
Oh, did you not catch that? Yeah. No, that's Electra.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Electra.
He references him basically liking this Greek girl in class.
Because that's how they really, in the comics, that's how they really met. Yeah. They met in college.
Fuck yes.
And then she leaves and then I guess becomes a member of the hand. And then Kingpin hires her as an assassin to kill Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when they...
God, I can't... Given the fight scenes in season one... Right.
And then she comes back.
Then she goes back to
life. Given the fight scenes and the choreography they did in season one, I cannot wait to see Elektra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On this show.
Now, see, a lot of people... Rosario Dawson is in this, and a lot of people thought that she was going to be...
She's a very ancillary character.
But she really is. She's in it. And I would say that is the one problem with this series. I felt it did... While I loved it, that was really, really great, did Daredevil very well. It did kind of lose steam towards the end, I felt. Some characters that you thought were going to be really important are kind of shrugged off. Stick only shows up in one episode. I thought he was going to show up in more. Yeah.
Well, they set him up though. That's setting up something in season two, probably.
Right, and probably for the Defenders as well.
Yeah.
Because this is the first series that is going to lead up to the street, quote unquote, street level Avengers, which are the Defenders.
Yeah. Help me out here because I didn't read the comics.
Right.
In the comics,
that is shocking, by the way.
Right.
Reading.
He doesn't read.
In the comics, his... Well, I don't even know the character's fucking name. His partner, Law.
Foggy.
Foggy. Did he know that he was... in the comics, did he always know he was Daredevil?
He didn't always know.
Okay.
I want to say he found out...
I mean, was this true to form and what happened here?
It didn't happen as fast as that, as it did in the show. Okay. But he... I want to say he did know. I think he did. By the time I was reading, I think he did know.
I'll say this about that reveal. I liked Foggy up until he found out about Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turned into this self-righous little asshole.
His character did change a little bit.
He was like, you knew I was lying?
Right.
I was like, what are you bitching about? You lied to him, you fucker. Yeah. Why are you upset that he knew about it?
Right.
And didn't say anything.
Yeah.
But he just starts whining about how, you know, Murdoch.
He's a good character. I
liked him. Yeah. I liked him a lot. He was good for comic relief. But then when he found out, he turned into a self-righteous man.
But they'll tone that back now. I mean,
they will.
That was just to...
And he came around a little bit by
the right. Way. I mean, that was just to get the point across.
Foggy is more... He's more supposed to be the comic relief anyway. I mean, I like Jon Favreau when he did him in the movie. And I'm not one of those people that had a big problem with the Daredevil movie. I think the problem with the Daredevil movie was the same issue I had with Avengers 2, is that they tried to cram too much into it. They tried to put everything you ever knew about Daredevil into one movie, when they really should have done exactly what they did with this TV show, and they should have just established the world.
But at the time, it was a different...
I know, yeah. People weren't
taken to
it was a different world.
Yeah.
And plus, it was Fox, and they were just trying to fucking make bank. But I'm not one of those people that's like, Daredevil movie, that sucked. That was pretty good. There was some cool stuff in it too.
It wasn't terrible.
I loved the fact that he had that deprivation tank because all the noise. He had to sleep in a deprivation tank so he could actually sleep. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Jennifer Garner probably wasn't the right choice for Elektra, but...
Maybe not.
But, Bullseye, Colin Farrell brought his
own Duncan was a good... Was pretty
yeah, he was
good,
a decent yeah. Kingpin. Yeah, but I mean, this is far superior to the movie.
Oh,
I mean,
not
by
even close.
Miles.
Not even close. Not even in the same category.
So, can we talk about the scene from this series, which is the end of episode 2?
No. So anyway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean the old boy scene?
Yeah.
Basically,
the old boy scene. Like the best scene from True Detective, which is a 4-minute single cut.
Yeah.
At the end of episode 4 for True Detective. This is a 5-minute single cut scene of him fighting his way through to get this kidnapped little boy at the end of the hallway.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's being kept in this room.
Awesome. That
was awesome. It was mind blowingly badass.
Yeah.
To see him fight from room to room. And,
I even liked when they didn't show it.
Yeah.
Like, he just disappears in a room.
And then you hear
the guy. And then a guy comes flying out. And that's great.
That's when they were switching up stuntmen. Every time he went in a room, they used 6 stuntmen.
Really? That's how they did that.
So every time the camera stayed in the hallway and he went in the room.
And that's how they were able to shoot it.
Yeah, that's how they were able to keep one take and him not die, you know, from exhaustion. But that's another thing that they showed his character getting tired.
Because he's not, I mean, he's
not fit yet.
It's not that. He has the senses, but he's not... like a superpower.
No, he doesn't have Captain America's body.
Right.
No, it's like,
they did make him stronger, though, I think. I think it did make him a little stronger, I think.
But in that fight, he had been stabbed. The whole episode was him getting nursed back to health by
Claire. Of course, that happened
several
times.
Not the only one to have 9 inches
shoved inside me.
Shoved inside them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was for me, that when actually
soaks into juices.
That was one of my problems with this. Again, very small problems, is that, he was pretty much almost dead. He really...
That's Daredevil, though.
Yeah.
That's Daredevil.
Yeah, but, okay, fine. But, I mean, that was a quick recovery to just be going out and kicking ass again.
That's Daredevil. Oh. That's straight from the comic books. Daredevil's always fucked up. Always. We mentioned Rosario Dawson, but she is supposed to be a character called Night Nurse from the comics. And she may show up in Luke Cage, because she has a history with Luke Cage, apparently, which would be awesome.
That would be great.
But the next one is Jessica Jones. I've seen Daredevil, I'm even more excited to see Jessica Jones.
I know nothing about Jessica Jones.
It's a great comic.
I'm just excited because I like David Tennant.
If they pull from the actual comic Alias, which they would have called if it wasn't for the Jennifer Garner J.J. Abrams show, it's a great comic. That's when Brian Michael Bendis like first kind of came to the Marvel universe, and that's the first thing he did. One of the first things he did, I believe. I can't remember if he did Daredevil first though. He may have done Daredevil first, but anyway. But he wrote Alias with her, and it's a cool character. It's going to be interesting how they explain her away, though, because her whole thing was, in the comics, she was a former Avenger.
Mm.
And then she left the superhero game, and now she's a private detective, basically.
Well, there is a new Avengers Academy at the end of Avengers Ultron. Yes. So she could be like a flunk out or whatever.
That's true. They might do that.
Avengers Academy.
Because from what I understand, the whole helicarrier thing, they're going to kind of explain that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yes, which is cool. Yes,
they are. Supposed to.
It's synergy, baby. Synergy. Yeah. And I will say that about Age of Ultron. That beginning scene was the greatest synergy they've had since they started that TV show, where literally that episode rolled right into the movie.
Perfect.
And like it was perfect. It was seamless.
Yeah.
Which
what
they
cool. say like what'd she say she said
Project like, Theta or something like that.
And
like,
then she said, "I see metal in the sky ring down."
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, she had the vision.
The vision.
Metal men.
She had the vision. Metal men. Yeah.
And then Coulson says, "Call the Avengers."
Yeah, but anyway, Daredevil.
Daredevil. So Daredevil. If you haven't watched it, definitely watch it. We're not gonna. We can't
yeah,
go into
no,
the whole
no,
thing.
Hold on, of course not.
13
but like,
episodes.
So like, what this?
Ben Urich is in it as well.
For folks
that, who.
I loved Urich.
He was great.
No.
Are you talking about the end of Urich?
Yes.
Okay.
I loved his character.
What? I thought this was like the spoiler pod.
Yeah, no, but still, you don't have to fucking blow that.
Oh, shut up. We were talking about Vision handing Mjolnir to Thor.
Look, yeah, this is the main character from Daredevil. Like, this is his kind of like go-to guy on the outside world, right?
It's kind of his Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, his Commissioner Gordon, right? And they fucking killed him off in season one.
A lot of people were upset by that. I was.
I was, because he's a big character.
It was, within the confines of the season, it was a good move.
Mm-hmm.
But just because I liked his character so much,
I loved
his
tough, the
right?
actor.
Yeah.
He's
But what this
mm-hmm.
what Netflix allows something like this to do is just breathe.
Yeah.
Like, it allows this whole world, this whole city to develop.
And
this whole character, you know, we don't even get to see him in his costume until at the very end. He's in that black costume.
That's probably smart.
Yeah. Yeah, the costume.
It'll get better. It's going to evolve.
I hope so.
The guy said, "I'm not finished yet."
Yeah.
He said that.
Oh, that's true.
He did. The guy who made it said, "It's not finished yet." It's going to evolve. But it's still, I thought it looked okay.
Well, from the neck down,
like
it was great.
Better.
Yeah, look, neck down, it was fine.
Down was great.
They crammed
the
him in that helmet.
But they do you that, look, and better than that, Fisk. Like you, it's episode, what, 4 before we even see him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you don't see him go berserk for a couple episodes. And when he does, fucking does.
Yeah.
That scene with the car door.
Yeah. I mean, that is the thing. I mean, that's the joke I was making in the beginning of this episode. Is like, this show is dark.
Oh,
it is
my God.
Super dark.
Yeah.
Like if we're sitting here saying, like, you know, Avengers, there's too many quips in it, and not in this. It is pitch black.
And that's what, again,
and,
something like Netflix, that's what you're able
right.
to do with that.
And
you're not stapled to a network.
And when I watch Daredevil,
problems.
It makes me hate Fox even more for that piece of shit Gotham TV show. Because I'm like, this is what Gotham should be.
I know I say it every time, but man, I need to stop watching that show. It's shit. It's so terrible.
The season finale is tonight.
So
I wish it was the series finale.
Oh God, isn't it like 2 hours or something?
Who the fuck cares? I'm not watching
know.
It.
It looks terrible. These shows just bad.
I mean, it's terrible.
DC
and Warner Brothers is lucky. They've got Arrow and The Flash.
Yeah, so...
Because The Flash is fantastic.
So for me, this has a real gritty...
Oh, yeah.
And I say Arrow feel because Arrow came first. But it's network related. But, you know, it's
dark. But this is...
It's dark kind of like Arrow, but to the nth degree because that's on the network.
Yeah. It's not just that. It's also because Arrow's on CW, so they have to have a certain
teeny bopper feel to it. But it's still got that darker feel to it as opposed to...
Well,
it's
trying to be Batman.
They're
trying to turn Green Arrow into Batman on this show.
Oh, yeah. They're
doing a good job.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
I mean, because... that's like I've said. I mean, season 1 is Batman Begins, season 2 is The Dark Knight, and season 3, at least the beginning of season 3, 3 was The Dark Knight Rises.
And good on him because it's working. That's a great show.
Yeah.
But and that's the thing with Daredevil too. Daredevil is basically the Marvel Universe's Batman. Sure. I mean, he basically
he's
is.
On the streets. He's
on the streets
just
doing getting shit done.
He's not. He's not rich.
He's not rich though. No, because he does a lot of pro bono.
He's not
work.
Rich and nuts.
Idiot.
The only the biggest criticism I have of the show is that I wanted to see more. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I wanted to see more of the lawyer side of.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him try to win this
in the courtroom.
In the courtroom.
And yeah. Fight the justice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The right
might way. You might see that in the next one.
Yeah. Yeah,
in this next
I hope
season.
So. I hope so,
you might see more of the lawyer side.
I want
season.
The you know, I get that there's the whole seething rage thing in him and he can't sometimes he can't control it.
Well and about, they did sort of explain at least why they didn't do that this time. He didn't have any clients.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any clients yet, right? Yeah. He had her and then
well he had the tenant in the building.
Yeah,
yeah, but that turned into part of the bigger problem, right? I mean, I agree with you. They definitely, as Daredevil, they need to show that. That's part of his duel. That's his whole thing, right? It's the hand of just blind hand of justice.
Thing. Watch me blow up these buildings. Do you love me now?
God, this guy. Yeah, what is up with that? It's like they go on a date. He blows up, Hell's Kitchen.
He fucking Fight Clubbed her.
Yeah.
Like, standing at the window at the end.
But see,
she called me at a really bad time in my life.
But if I recall from the comic book, she is, like, in the comic... Because that...
She's a fucking sociopath.
She does become his wife. I mean, like, she does marry him.
Well, let's face it. If you're going to be with that guy, you got to be a sociopath.
Yeah, but if I recall from the comic book, from her history in the comic book, she's supposed to be almost, like, as ruthless, I think, as
I him. Love the running theme of him. Leading up to actually showing his background, his backstory, just with the painting.
Yeah,
they did middle. They had
the
beginning,
the
middle, and then the end. Him just staring at the wall.
He was so good. I can't
wait.
That
was the perfect ending for that Kingpin story.
Yes,
yeah,
so good.
He was great. I can't wait. I can't wait to see him in the season.
I knew he would do well. I lamented the fact on some previous podcasts that I want to see the. Hulking
but the
Kingpin.
problem is, like,
I retract the statement.
I mean, the Kingpin, like, literally is like as fat as the
and,
Hulk.
And by the way, I think I even mentioned
this
to you at the end when he actually is in the white jumpsuit. He looks bigger, you know.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. The black is slimming.
The black is slimming. The black is slimming.
That's why I'm wearing a black shirt right now.
but
Deadpool is also slimming. By the way,
yes,
Chimichangas.
Yes.
I fucking rolled. I was on the floor rolling when I watched that thing I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
That was hilarious.
I can't wait.
I gotta watch that. It's the video game thing.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny.
So Daredevil. If you have Netflix, watch Daredevil.
Oh,
and if you're a fan of Marvel,
that's an A show. It's great.
It's fantastic. I wouldn't go A, but
your A and
B
my
plus.
A's are different.
I would definitely go A on Daredevil.
Like, well, I A minus A is all the same to me.
Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah. But looking down the line, so we know Jessica Jones is coming up next.
Yes. Then Luke Cage.
Luke Cage shows up in Jessica Jones.
Yes, he does.
Because they have his history.
They have a history, yes.
But they've already had set pics of him. Yeah. They do
you
it.
You can't see what we're doing, but you can imagine what adolescents like.
They're doing what Black Widow wants to do with the Hulk.
They're bumping uglies. So then Luke Cage, and then Iron Fist. So they drop a lot of Iron Fist references in Daredevil.
See, I missed that because I'm not big on Iron Fist, so
I was telling you, I referenced it earlier, that web,
right.
The article I read. Yeah, they
that was it on Collider?
Might
have Collider.
I feel like it was Collider.
Gal
but,
is, that's going to be the Iron Fist connection.
Right.
Madam Gal.
That was one of the references. She references, like, where are you from? Like, are you Hong Kong or something like that? She goes, oh, much farther away than that.
Yeah.
And that references where, I don't remember the name of the place. Where
it's some, there's some.
Where he comes from. Where he comes from.
Yeah.
Or where he's trained, rather.
Yeah. And like, the little symbol in the heroin that they used is the Iron
yes.
Fist.
Yeah, that's,
yeah.
Yeah,
the
Iron
Fist,
that, yeah.
Yeah, they showed that. They showed that there. And then they also show it in the workshop
mm-hmm.
where the guys. They actually also showed, apparently, I don't know anything about this, but some stilts. There's some guy.
Oh, I don't know.
There's some reference of a villain that.
Oh, I don't know.
Gets tall when he wears stilts or something.
The
worst villain ever.
The Japanese guy. The Japanese guy is clearly was clearly part of the Hand.
Yes.
But I don't know if they're going to call them the Hand. I hope they do because they never called them the Hand in Wolverine.
right?
Because it's the same ninja, same organization in the comic books, but they never called them the Hand of Wolverine. So
that's the Foot Clan.
No, that's Ninja Turtles. Sorry, wrong thing. Okay. Casey Jones has no hair. Right.
Which we just saw first.
Yeah, we did
first Casey Jones picks.
Whatever. That movie was terrible. So
these guys were real meticulous on the sets of this. Like, mm-hmm. they filmed
in New York.
They had the Easter egg of when he goes to the police station.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, I didn't notice this. There, I don't know who picks this shit out, right? Did you notice?
You're talking about the Battle of New York and also the Hulk?
No, I'm talking about Stan Lee's pictures hanging.
Oh, Stan Lee's pictures.
Stan Lee's pictures hanging in the back. Yeah, and then, in Ulrich's office,
they have
he's framed pictures from Avengers, basically.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I doubt they'll ever get her on the show, what I referenced before we started talking about Daredevil, but he has a relationship with Black Widow in the comic books. I think it would be awesome if ScarJo showed up in this.
He also has a lot of interactions with Spider-Man.
He does. Now, here's the other question, because this is what I thought was going to happen before Kingpin met up with Ben Urich. I was like, is he going to get fired from this fake paper and then go join the Daily Bugle now that they have Spider-Man in the next season? But unfortunately, that's not going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Not anymore.
Yeah. But way to go, Doug! So, I know, yeah, that would be cool if Spider-Man showed up in the Daredevil show. He would be more at home, I think, in that.
Yeah.
I mean, not as dark, but in that universe than he would be.
Yeah, that more street level
in the Avengers stuff. Yeah, and of course, everybody keeps pointing that, you know, a certain Frank Castle might show up eventually.
Fuck, yes. So we've got the Defenders series going on.
Right.
Looking down the line, Punisher, Ghost Rider,
Moon Knight,
Blade.
They've already done Ghost Rider perfect.
All right. You can't mess with perfection.
See you in my dreams.
Nick Cage nailed it. So I don't know where are they going to go with that.
Yeah.
Seriously,
it's going to have to be like Jared Leto and Suicide Squad. You're just going to go with it.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't talk about Suicide Squad.
Let's not.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, they
didn't like it.
Well, we talked about the picture last time.
Did we?
Yeah, they just released it yesterday.
No, the Joker.
But just yesterday they released an image of the rest of the squad.
And they all look the same.
It's weird, right?
I
don't think it's terrible, but I do agree they don't. There's not a lot of distinction.
They're not going for the Marvel way where they're all like Captain Boomerang. If he looked like he looked in comic books, you'd be like, that's ridiculous.
Well, no, you can't. I don't expect a direct translation, but I'm looking at him and I'm like, it just looks like eight dudes plus a guy.
I was about to say only one of them looks different. Because he's black.
Right.
Well, no, we got Killer Croc.
Ridiculous. Yeah. He looks awful in that picture. I'm sorry. He is not a crocodile. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, it's like a...
It depends on which way you're going with it, though.
It's like a...
Because there's different incarnations.
He's basically got shingles. Look,
it's the laziest costume design I can remember in a superhero suit.
I thought Deadshot looked good. I mean, I thought he looked good. Yeah, when he had the mask. Yeah, I thought the mask was right.
The image before that, when he had... Yeah, yeah.
God, seriously.
Put the eye patch on Nick Fury on the other side and see if people don't bitch about
it.
That's true.
You're right.
How does Fury see these? He turns.
Yeah, he turns.
Sounds exhausting. Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn looked the best out of
She
all
did.
Of them.
And, well, they, and they, well, pulled, they that was they pulled, front and center. That's what people
they
really
pulled,
care about.
They pulled her look a little bit from the Arkham games. She's not animated. Harley Quinn,
and she does have the tattoos like Joker does.
Mm-hmm.
One of them says Puddin. You know, it's she's actually got a necklace or not a necklace, a choker that says Puddin. You know, some of the set pics that came out today. Puddin's good. You know who else likes Puddin? Carl.
Carl does. Carl
loves Puddin.
He does like
Puddin. Carl loves Puddin.
I don't know. I'm interested to see what they do with it.
I was looking forward to the movie until. You know,
I'm still looking forward to it.
And Tom Hardy dropped out.
Oh.
And that kind of took away some excitement. Yeah,
yeah. No, it did, but there was actually an article today where he explains, he goes, really, it's really a scheduling thing. He goes, the script is really cool.
Yeah,
he says, I really liked it a lot.
Right,
because
right.
I really
he
wanted
wasn't,
to be in
it. It wasn't like he had problems with the
It's like I said, though, if Tom Hardy was going to be in it, I really wish they just made him Bane. That would have been awesome.
Yeah. They should have.
like a minor kind of connection to the...
That would have been
great. No, I'm still excited.
it's, I want to like the movie. I just that picture that came
David
out.
David Ayer is good though. I mean, he can write a good story.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, he can do action really well. I mean, Fury. I had my problems with Fury, but the tank action was like incredible. And End of Watch,
that's really good. I didn't see, still haven't seen
it. End of Watch is really good.
I don't know. I don't know any of his movies.
Oh, I have. I think Suicide Squad is going to surprise people.
I hope so. It's just the designs don't do anything for me. Like, and plus, I don't know a lot of those characters.
Going though. That's the way they're going though. With but like why? darker, more.
He said he doesn't like.
I don't like it.
Like the way they're going.
And I don't think it fits with what they're showing in Batman vs Superman. I mean, they're going the comic book direction with those two.
Yeah, but they all
and
that's
Wonder
true.
Woman and Aquaman.
Well, we don't know where they're going with them yet.
Yeah, well,
we don't know.
Neither does DC.
That's the only thing. I've said this the last couple episodes. Yeah. The only thing I'm worried about is the characterization of Wonder Woman. That's the only thing I'm worried about with that movie.
You should be because they. I mean, it came out that there was some article that I forget. I wish I could remember the site. I'm sorry, but it was pointing out the potential problems with the DCCU, as you know, in comparison to Marvel. And the article is all about how the reason they're having these problems is because they don't have a Kevin Feige, which I've been saying all
Oh, yeah, we've been saying that too.
But they're saying, like, for the Wonder Woman movie, they just said they commissioned 5 writers to each write their own Wonder Woman script. So they've hired 5 different people to write Wonder Woman.
That's not good.
No, it's not good at all. And you've already got a director that quit.
The thing I'm more worried about with Wonder Woman, though, is if they're going to make her Frank Miller's Wonder Woman, which I do not want to see at all.
Who knows at this point? They don't even know what kind of story they want. I mean, they've got...
No, I'm talking about in the Batman Superman movie. The movie that they're already doing.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, like, he does have a hard-on for The Dark Knight Returns. It's
she's not in that, though.
Well, he loves the Frank Miller Batman story.
I'm hoping he does not like The Dark Knight Strikes Again because that fucking book is terrible.
I'm sure
the next one's going to be terrible, too.
Oh, you mean... it's some racist title, the third book.
Oh, they already gave it a title?
Yeah. Oh, you ever heard? It's like the Master Race. That's what it's called.
It is.
I saw it. I was like, well, it's Frank Miller, I guess. Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's going to fight Muslims whether I one way or another.
That guy gets a pass for everything because he's fucking crazy.
He is.
He gets a pass for everything because of Daredevil and the Dark Knight Returns.
Because of what he originally did.
He's the conservative version of Alan Moore. Alan Moore is fucking nuts.
Right.
But he's like,
super liberal
nuts. Frank Miller is fucking crazy on the opposite side of the spectrum. You know, it's anything he does called Master Race, I don't want anything to do with nothing at all. But
it's like if it were anyone else, you'd think, oh, maybe that's like some kind of play on words.
Yeah,
and
he actually means it's going to be the Master Race.
That's what he means by that.
But Wonder Woman, they cannot fuck up Wonder Woman. I'm so scared for her movie.
Oh, they can.
Well, that's true. it's such an important movie. And hear this news that they're just like casting this wide net, you know, and they don't know what kind of story they want. They're already having director problems. Yeah. It's not looking good.
I still have faith, and I agree with you. Like, Ayer's a solid fit.
Yeah. But that's not going to help Wonder Woman's movie.
No.
You know, they hired Patty Jenkins?
Yeah, I know. I saw that. Yeah.
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 Who?
Well, got.
I'm sorry, got fired for Thor from Thor 2.
Yeah. But that could work out good for Wonder Woman.
Blessings upon her.
That could work out good for Wonder Woman.
It could work out. So. But
it already did work out for her. She's not working on Thor anymore.
Apparently the first director wanted Wonder Woman to have a tiger, pet tiger.
Yeah.
Rawr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yikes. That would have been...
You read Supreme Power, right? I let you borrow that.
Yes,
right?
I did.
See, that what I'm afraid of is they're going to turn her into Zarda from Supreme Power. Which is not the crazy part, just the we have to crush these people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm that's what I'm afraid of.
I thought the original plan back when they thought they had a plan was to the Wonder Woman movie was gonna be actually set in the '40s.
I don't know.
The first
Captain America.
Oh, like a Peggy.
They bought a script a long time ago. They bought a script that two guys wrote. I think they bought it just to say, if we need to cannibalize this, we're going to cannibalize it. So maybe there could be elements of that in it. Mm-hmm.
Supposedly she's just going to be like Captain America. She's just been fighting.
Mm-hmm.
She's been around forever.
Yeah.
But we just don't.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's a great character.
We haven't seen her since the '40s.
As long as they do it right, man, Wonder Woman's a great character.
But I don't.
Because like I said, the All-Star Batman and Robin, I said this in our last episode, All-Star Batman and Robin is essentially the prequel to The Dark Knight Returns. And in that, she's very like... fuck you men, I'm gonna, you know, she's very warlike and stuff like that. And that's fine that she's gonna be a fighter. Like, that's what I loved about Captain America in the movies, is that they weren't afraid to put a gun in his hand. You know why? Because he's a soldier. You know, so it made sense.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman, it makes sense for her to have a shield and sword and stuff like that. I want her to be, I'm fighting for peace. Like, I'm fighting, that's what I want.
That needs to be
paramount. Yeah. It needs to be paramount. And I said to Dirty A in the last episode, I said, if they make it that, you know, Superman is in the middle and then Wonder Woman is like, you know, peace and light, and Batman is like darkness and breaking necks, you know, that will be fine. That would be perfect if they make the Trinity like that.
See, I think
and then they both destroy Batman, because that's what would happen.
You know what though? So
if they do it like just like the cartoon, Wonder Woman wants to fuck Batman.
Right. I agree with
that's
you.
That's how she's killing.
Like that, it should. It's not going to be a fight.
Then Xenia on a top should be.
In the scenario you were just talking about, I think Superman is going to be the ultra good, you know, peacekeeper. I think Wonder Woman is going to be somewhere in the middle.
That's what I told him, is that what they probably have some middle ground where she, the movie is about swaying her, like she's like, what do I do? Or maybe she's bad, and then he sways her to good by the end of it.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm firmly in the camp that Superman would beat the fuck out of Batman in the blink of an eye.
It's science.
The only time, the whole thing about the Dark Knight Returns, there's two reasons why Batman beats him in that fight. It's because A, Superman just had to survive a nuclear warhead exploding, so like he's weak to begin with, and then he hits him with kryptonite, kryptonite gas. So like that's the only reason why he beats the crap out of Superman. In Hush, you know, he had the kryptonite ring that Superman gave him.
Yeah.
He gave it to him to say, in case I fucking go crazy,
yeah.
Here's the kryptonite ring. So there's always kryptonite involved whenever
there
Batman
is.
Beats him. It's not like Batman is like, I'm gonna beat you in my metal suit. It's like, no there.
You know that he's gonna have the kryptonite.
There's gonna have to be kryptonite involved somehow.
He's a thinking man.
But here's the thing. It's like, even then, it's like Superman could stand 2 miles away and blast him with his laser vision.
Exactly right.
And never be affected.
He's too busy heating porridge with that.
But they did. They interviewed Cavill recently for something he's done with Army Hammer.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which looks fantastic. If you haven't seen the trailer for that, you've got to watch it. It looks really, really good. All right,
I'll watch it.
Because we were rolling our eyes. We were like, another like 60s TV show reboot. And we saw the trailer like, this looks fucking awesome.
When they asked Cavill about it, they were like, you know, it doesn't make any sense that Superman and Batman would fight, because Superman would destroy him. And Cavill's answer was great. He said, if Superman were Superman, and he is, then he wouldn't.
He won't destroy him.
I like if they're going to do that, because that does play in the Man of Steel, because he was horrified that he had to do that to Zod, and now he's like, I'm not going to kill this guy.
He can still do this, you know, like, just holding back while he's like running, trying to put
like in Spaceballs.
Just holding the bay.
It's true, but
like, that's cute.
It sets up this thing where, like, Batman's going to play dirty, and Superman could kill him, but he's going to hold back, and Batman's going to pull out the kryptonite ring and beat the shit out of him or something. You know,
hopefully Stephen Amell is in it as Green Arrow, and he shoots the kryptonite arrow to set it all off.
Doug, I hate to tell this to you.
I know.
There's no way that's going to happen.
I know. Oh, man. See, you're not watching Flash, are you?
No.
Yeah, okay. And I saw you wrote a note here real quick before we end this episode. Josh Trank.
Yes.
Director of Fantastic Four.
Fuck up Supreme.
Yeah, apparently. Because apparently everything he did wrong on Fantastic Four, they've now yanked him from the Star Wars
one of the standalone movies.
Yeah, he's fired before he even stepped behind the camera.
He says
they're not even waiting to see how the fucking movie does. They don't care how it plays.
Well, it's because of Simon Kinberg. Kinberg was a producer, and he's like, get this fucking kid out of here. Yeah, and so they ejected him.
Yeah. Supposedly from behind the scenes antics.
Right, and you know what? I don't know the guy, but his career's kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Because that's high-profile shit.
Yeah.
I mean,
you
fuck up one and then immediately get fired from one of the biggest things you could be signed on to do.
Yeah. And this does not bode well for Fantastic Four's box office, by the way.
No.
Because they're already like, he's not coming back for Fantastic Four 2.
Which might not even happen.
Which might not happen. And Feige's over there going, he's going to get his hands on Fantastic Four finally.
If they could get Doom in the Marvel Universe.
That's all I want. I want Doom.
They need the good villain.
Yeah.
And Doom.
Yeah.
Doom fits the bill.
But look what he that's did. Only, that's but like, look that, what Josh Whedon did with Ultron. So, anyway.
Yeah, the trailer looks good. That's the one part about the trailer I really dug is when they're like, what's coming? Doom. And then you see his face kind of turn for a split second. You're like, that's it? Like, that looks good, but it won't be that. I know it won't be that.
Nope, it's going to be a string of blog posts.
Of course, yeah.
From Doom the blogger.
But that still made...
Reed Richards was mean to me again.
But that still, that segment of the trailer got me excited. Yeah. And I was like, but I know this isn't
going to happen. It's going to, yeah.
So anyway.
But we'll find out about that in August.
Yes.
Go see Avengers, Age of Ultron.
If you haven't seen it already.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it already, check out Daredevil on Netflix. And,
Fuck Fantastic Four. In the ear.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
With the Hulk dick.
Right.
We want to thank Matt for coming by again and talking shit with us. We may
look
have
up his new little short story on
yes, go to KingWrites, KingWrites.com.
You guys are so sweet.
Go to KingWrites.com. He writes as in WRITES.
Right. Not in the rights of King.
Right. KingWrites.com and check out his short stories there.
It's called The First Death of August.
Yeah. Didn't take my advice, but it's okay.
I did not take your advice.
A smart man.
But I did think about it. You're welcome.
So you're saying he's got more to
I'm saying more than one happens.
Right. And Matt, if he can make the time, may also be back when we talk about Mad Max in the future.
Yes.
Because we're going to see that tomorrow.
It is on my busy, busy calendar.
Yes. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we will see you next time.